The following contains adult language, content, and description of actions that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
This episode is brought to you by Jams.
Music is the soundtrack of our daily lives. It drives business. It entertains. And we are that crucial link between the makers and users of music. We are Jams, representing local and international producers, labels, and performers, providing global coverage in the collection of airplay and public performance royalties for the best of the best in the music industry. We deliver results. We deliver royalties. Find us at jamsonline.com or call 876-978-1010. Jams, we stand up for music rights.
DancehallMag.com is a new startup publisher covering Jamaican music and culture. New articles fill four content areas weekly with the goal of facilitating a greater appreciation and awareness of reggae and dancehall to the masses worldwide. Find them online at www.dancehallmag.com or subscribe to the news magazine on Google News, Apple News, and Flipboard.
Hello, this is Savannah Baker. You are listening to World Music Views with JR. Woo!
So what's up? I found myself searching a deep rabbit hole that found me discovering that you are the creativity behind some of the biggest dancehall and reggae projects. Spice, Popcorn, Rihanna. First of all, give me your background. Tell me, how did you get to do the job you're doing right now?
So my background is I grew up in Jamaica, between Jamaica, New York, and England. So I kind of have that diverse island, but also city and different cultures background. My mother is half Jamaican, but she grew up in Kingston. And then from the age of 1991, when I was born, my family lived in Portland. I grew up here. So I have real roots in Jamaica. And then from a young age, it always was into fashion and creating and doing photography and everything. And when I grew up in Jamaica, I always documented more just personally the life of Jamaica. So I have an ongoing project, which is called My Jamaica or Me Jamaica. And that's more photo-based. So I've always been into creating and visuals and everything, and of course Jamaican music, Afro beats is basically all I listen to, so that's kind of my biggest inspiration in life, and Jamaican fashion and everything is my biggest inspiration. So it only kind of made sense to help create and work with Jamaican artists, because I mean they're my favorites.
Tell me about that pom pom socks I realize it's a phenomenon. I've seen the pom pom socks. I never knew it was your pom-pom socks, but yeah. It seemed to be like a big thing with Rihanna posting it and other artists.
Yeah, it was. And it's really sad because I need to revive it because a lot of people really loved it. Basically, I used to just make them for myself, and then everyone just always commented on it, and then I used it in styling and so on. And then someone came to me and said, let's make it into a brand. And she did the business side, and it was kind of perfect. She was from Bermuda. And Pum Pum Socks was the idea, because it was like taking back the word Pum Pum from men that use it in dancehall culture a lot. Like Nicki Minaj took back. She calls, sorry, one second. I'm in a full house. Che? Family time during the summer, as you can imagine. Yeah, so like Nicki Minaj took back the word for women, bitches, you know, she empowered the word. So I just wanted to do it the same with pum pum. So like you feel empowered wearing your pum pum socks, and you take it back from the men and you own it. We then moved it into a collective called Pum Pum Gyals, which we still have. We haven't been doing anything for the last few years because I've been moving into more of a styling, photography, and creative direction world. But as I said, I hope to revive it. I had a bit of a blip where someone kind of weirdly stole the identity, the brand, and everything. So it made me kind of think I should just pause it for a bit, just because it wasn't really positive vibes around it. But I hope to go back into the Pum Pum Gyal and socks world again.
Nah, it's a great brand. So we had the opportunity to have dinner a few nights ago at your father's residence, and while I was there, I met your father. Invited us he said, my daughter is here, it's her birthday, and she has people from all over the world. Would you mind joining us for dinner? So it was lovely. We came, we had a good time. But I met your friend, David.
Yes.
And David said to me that you coordinated 42 friends to come on a trip with you for your birthday. Now, I want to know what kind of person has 42 friends, first of all. And and how did you manage to develop such a personality with different people from all over the globe that are totally invested and interested in you to celebrate your birthday like that? Because that's a soft skill that many people don't have. So share with me what that is like and how you develop that.
Oh, thank you. That's a very lovely thing to say. Very sweet. I felt very blessed that everyone came. And to be honest, I think also it helped that it was COVID times and everyone was ready to get that out of wherever they were. They needed a break. People coming here, they probably know that they're going to have a real Jamaican vibe and experience. So I feel like a lot of people are like, yeah, I'm in. So it was really lovely. And I do have, like, I'm not someone that has like one circle. I do have like amazing different characters. As you met David, who has like got a double PhD and so intelligent, can build robots. Like, everyone is so different. And it was really nice to, you know, unite and everyone together. A lot of people didn't know each other. We had a beach party at Jijan Beach, and a lot of people from Kingston and all about came down, and it was just sharing vibes. And to be honest, it's more, for me, it's a celebration of the people around me and the community. It's open to a lot of people in the community around where we live. So yeah, it was such a lovely time.
No, your range is definitely impeccable. I want to talk about Rihanna's Wild Thoughts and your work with that. Tell me what you did with her and where did you get those ideas to bring that performance to life?
Oh, so I collaborate with my cousin, who actually was at the dinner as well, called Philippa Price. She is like a creative genius, and she actually creative directed that. But we always go hand in hand and collaborate a lot together. We work on many projects. So actually that was more her vision, but we did the Grammys together, which was the Wild Thoughts with DJ Khaled and was it Bryson? Yeah, sorry, it's been some time since I did that. It was like 2017.
That was 2018.
2018, yeah, exactly. I was like, it's been some time. But that was great. And we did a timeless look, styled like 36 to 40 dancers on the stage. And it really worked well. Like, we've done a few different things with Rihanna. We also did the Savage Fenty campaign, which was also an amazing experience, styled many different talents in that. And it was the first launch to her lingerie campaign. So again, did it with Philippa. But yeah, that was a good one. We did that in LA, and we actually had to end up shooting an extra day because, I mean, you know how it goes with artists and people. She came quite late, or her team didn't get her to hurry up to the set. So we're shooting on a botanical garden, and she couldn't, we had to have a hard out 10 o'clock, and she came about 9 o'clock. So we didn't get to shoot everything we wanted to. So we ended up shooting the last day at our house because we had a nice garden and stuff. So that was kind of a funny experience.
And you worked with one of my favorite artists. He was one of my favorite guests. He actually called me to do an interview, Damien Junergang Marley.
Yes.
He's absolutely one of my favorite artists of all time. Okay. And speaking with him is a refresher, you know? What was that like helping to craft the artwork for Stony Hill, which is his Grammy-winning album?
Yeah, that was amazing. He has had the same photographer for many years called Brian B. Cross. He's Irish, lives in California, and has the best vibe. He brought me on the project, so it was an amazing collaboration. I don't think Damien has worked with people with style a lot, so it was definitely a new process for him working with someone and styling. I think he you know, usually does it himself, so it was a nice process because it was very collaborative. I don't like to come in and just say, wear this. And, you know, it's all about the person feeling comfortable and it feeling true to them. And we definitely bounced off. We pushed him in some ways. But again, as you said, he's refreshing. He's a true icon. So it was an amazing process and job and collaboration.
And you also worked with Katy Perry with The Never Really Over. Are yes. you, with that range, first of all, tell me what it's like working with Katy Perry. And then tell me, are you able to use your Jamaican, US, UK advanced knowledge and to bring something extra to the table that others might not be able to?
That's a good question. I think so. So again, that was a collaboration with Philippa Price, who we like bounce off really well. I think color is always something that I'm into. Obviously, if it's not something that is a color direction, then it is. I do always mesh things. I like to contrast and mix looks together in a natural way, if that makes sense. So I'm not someone that will be like, okay, today it's all chic. Like, I can't do that. I will go to Port Antonio Market and pick up some random thing, and it might go on Rihanna, but she doesn't know. But it's all about mixing things. So it might be with a really high-end brand, with something from a market, through something thrifted. That's kind of how I go. So my travels and that, I guess it does contribute to the style and look. With working with such diverse people, I think psychology is a huge part of styling. And, you know, again, making people feel comfortable in what they're wearing and how they're presenting themselves, and both with the collaboration working with myself, but also in themselves. Because sometimes you'll present something, they'll be like, I would never wear that. But then they try it on and they're like, whoa, actually, I'm into it. So I guess that's a big part of it too.
Your work can be the determining factor on whether or not someone listens to an album, because it's such a highway of music on Apple Music or wherever people listen to music. The artwork influences what I'm gonna listen to, in addition to the genre. Like I look at an album cover, they say don't judge a book by its cover, but that happens a lot. People judge it. True. Spice first album, 10, your influence is on that.
Yeah.
What's the mindset you go into for her dropping her debut international album, most anticipated by the dancehall community? What's the mindset you go in creating that?
Well, first of all, that was like an amazing project, because she is a pleasure to work with. She's like the coolest, loveliest, like Grace Hamilton versus Spice, but like she's got this two-sided coin. So that was really a great process. And she was really open and easy. So when working with someone that's open to like going with the flow and whatever, she basically didn't really say no to it a lot, which was really cool, because it means it was creative freedom involved. I worked with Steph, who is the creative director, Stephanie Chin at VP. So it was a great collaboration there. And she allowed me to bring on board Charlotte Rutherford, who's an amazing photographer. She's worked with most artists underneath the sun, like super incredible, talented. She's English, but in LA. And so she shot the cover. That's actually not even my favorite shot. So there's more to come that are great. But yeah, we basically wanted to do like Planet Spice. That was the idea of the whole thing, which we came up with, and just kind of intergalactic, different world. Like, is it this world? Is it that world? Like, all of them have different influences, but still kind of very highly stylized. And there's some more dancehall queen looks, which I'm super excited for, because again, it brings it into a fashion realm. Even though dancehall queen is all about fashion and show stopping and shocking factor, so I'm excited for those to be released.
So I'm writing a book, and segments of this interview will also be in the book. But the book is about turning cultural capital into financial capital.
Okay.
You're the heir to a large throne of music and hotel business through your father, but you're also legitimately building your legacy.
Yes,
you're legitimately building your own legacy, making these moves and impacting pop culture present day. How do you see artists, young artists, turning cultural capital into financial capital?
Well, I guess like young artists, like meaning musicians or like creative all around.
Anyone, musicians, artists, photographers, whoever is from culture and can turn that, whatever they're good at, whatever people are saying, turning that, the Jamaican thing basically.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say staying true to yourself and not having to like think you have to do it a certain way, because I mean if you do something individual, that's always going to stop people in its tracks, whether negatively, positively. It you want to inspire, and I think that is an amazing currency in itself. You want to I'm just trying to articulate this.
No, you're doing well.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I feel like it's just important to take what you have. So whether you live in St. Mary's, you know, St. Elizabeth, it doesn't matter where you come from, who, you know, where you're brought up, like whatever you can, you know, if you literally are on the road and you see, oh, like you see a shoestring on the road and then you can turn that into something. I think if you can just think out the box with whatever you can use in front of you, I think that is what is proper, like incredible creative currency and inspiring. And there's a lot of stylists out there now that are really changing the ways of you know, whether it's using recycling or whatever. Like I don't believe you have to go to school or you have to go to art college or anything. It's actually just really what's in your mind and trying to be free and not following the leader or thinking you have to do it in a certain way, or it's just really taking what tools you have and using them.
Who haven't you worked with that you'd love to work with?
Oh, that is a hard one. Well, I mean, forever, I guess it's more photography stuff more than styling. Styling is very natural to me. Photography is, but I think I would like to maybe do more personal projects and like do books and exhibitions and stuff. So that's not really a person, that's more just on the whole. Like, but of course, like it would be great to do something like really large in Jamaica, like with loads of different artists and do something really conceptual rather than, you know, just, you know, make it into an art piece rather than just the portrait and styling of them naturally, like make it into an art world. That would be really cool. I'm trying to think who it would be. I have thought about this. It would probably be someone like Erica Badu, would be really, really dope. And I think our worlds would mesh well together. And I've got a concept that actually I'm going to pitch to a magazine, which was really interested. So hopefully that will happen. And I guess, like, I mean, I like to also, like, as I said, psychology is a big thing. So I like working with people that might be a bit more challenging, but then also making them, like, you know, they might not be used to working with a stylist, or they might be really used to, you know, like if, let's say I don't want to wear pink, but then I'm like, but like, look, we'll do it in a really masculine way, and then they're like, oh wait, this is dope. So just generally it's kind of more that kind of vibe that I like to do. So I guess it would be like rappers and stuff, but there's no one that really springs to mind, to be honest.
Which school did you go to? Like, where did you get your education?
All over. I went to Kids and Kids in Portland. So I went to kindergarten in Portland, Upper Hill in Port Antonio, which was, I've got some really beautiful pictures of me with, and it's just such a mixed array of kids. So I went there, and then I went to a public school in New York called PS41. So it's kind of been a very mix up thing. And then I went to a school in the countryside, all girls in England. And then I went to an art school for sixth form. So it's been like not one tier. It's been all different vibes, walks of life and stuff, which has been great. But I mean, when I was younger, I really wanted to go into design and fashion. But I think actually I didn't end up going to college or university. I just went straight and assisted. So again, that works a lot better for me. Just getting practical work and like actually learning about what my personal influence is and like what who I am, more than being taught.
A lot of artists don't go to college, right? They are dropouts, they're rebels. And matter of fact, a lot of the successful people in the world have not been to college. I myself went to college, did one program, finished that as a teacher, went back to do more studies, and then just dropped out.
Okay.
Decided I want to be on the doing side of life. Do you advise young artists to get some kind of formal training, or is just go for it and practice?
I feel like it depends on what you do. So if it is like pattern cutting or anything, yeah, of course, like you can be self-taught, but sometimes maybe learning from a course or from like school to pattern cut and design and so on can be really good. And also like learning how to access research and put portfolios together. So I think it just really depends on what, but I do think practical work ultimately is what's going to really shape you, because I think negative, positive, good, bad experiences are always going to help. So for instance, with me, I had a really positive experience assisting someone who showed me, don't do everything I do, do it in your own way, write your emails in your own way, all this kind of stuff. Whereas I know also, like, some of the people on my team, my assistants, they've worked with really horrible people, and like it nearly made them not want to do styling or want to pursue the fashion world or whatever, because they were treated like shit, basically, excuse me my language, but they're treated very badly. So I always make it, it's important for me, for my, with my team, that I get them to do things hands-on and it's collaborative, and I want them to want to do it. So I think they've learned actually how they want to treat others, so it's like the trickle down effect, and how they want to be treated. So I think it is important to have as much practical work, because you learn a lot more from that, I personally think.
If someone wants to get in your shoe and emulate you and do what you do, work with Usher, Katy Perry, Spice, Popcorn, all these people, what would they have to do?
I think honestly, it's when you're, so it, when it's, when you're young, I think it's experimenting. So even if, like, I did so many shoots that no one will ever see the light of day, because I just experimented. Some of them maybe I will still post, and I did it when I was like 10 years ago because I still think it's relevant, or I still think it's good. So I think it's just practicing. Like, even if you don't have the means to a photographer, get, find a friend, or find someone on Instagram that's in your local community, or you know, not far, and be like, hey, I've got an idea, do you want to collaborate? And just practice at doing things. And then also, like, you'll learn. You can also reach out to stylists or photographers and just say, hey, if you ever need shadowing or assisting. I think that's a really good thing, because even if you're not doing really hands-on, you're at least in the atmosphere just seeing how it works. So I think assisting and doing your own, they're called test shoots, basically. It's like you're testing. No one gets paid. Everyone's doing it for free, but it's for your portfolio, and it's for, like, just experimenting and creating. So I think those are really good things to start with.
That's beautiful. And we're going to close now, but I'd love to see you do your own projects, as you said. I'm willing to help you in any way I can.
Thank you.
If you're going to do an exhibition or anything like that, we'll do the marketing, PR, all of that for you. And I can imagine you have every artist at your fingertip to just call on.
Thank you.
But you should definitely do that, because the space needs that kind of aesthetic to fuel the artistic output, you know? And you have a wonderful story to tell. Have you ever thought of going into music?
Well, like me?
Yeah, like you.
I don't have the talent in music, unfortunately. My brother, my dad, great, but I'm not a singer. I definitely like helping with stuff, but I'm not, sadly. It's just not my talent. I agree. I would really like to do more personal stuff. I did my, there's this King Kong magazine, which I don't know if you saw, but that was like a personal shoot that I did where I shot and styled it. And that was the most, I think, Savannah Baker of, like, aesthetic. It was done in Portland all around using local talent, some Saint models. And it was highly stylized, but also, like, it again, timeless, what world are we in and everything. So I want to do more of that, and I've got a few things that hopefully I need to try and do this year if I can.
Nah, you should definitely do it. I could definitely see you taking on a whole movement behind you, because there are lots of people like you, you know, but they're so timid and afraid because they're waiting on you to do it. Like they don't know that they could already do it. And you have the range to lead all these artists who graduate Edna Manley, graduate from UA, and really don't know what to do. And you're really doing it.
Thank you.
I'm super, super impressed by you and your work. And thank you so much for joining us on World Music Views.
One thing I actually didn't say, which I will quickly say, is that that's something with, when you say, is one of my main life things that I wanted to do is mentorship programs in Jamaica. And we didn't even go into that. It's a whole nother conversation, but that is something that I have been discussing with people, and even got a name for the project and everything. But I really do want to do a mentorship in Jamaica, bringing people in, teaching people in, you know, whether art schools or music or even like communities in different parishes, like business skills and bring people in to do actual like courses and stuff, because I think it's so important. And that, like as you said, like I was born into whatever to be able to travel. I know not everyone is, so to bring it here so people have opportunity is the most important thing for me, for sure. So that is definitely my life goal, but I'm just, it's to come.
Now, projects like these, and when you take on stuff like these that are human interests, you become a leader. More than just an artist, you become a leader. And you probably going to be the Marcus Garvey or the Martin Luther King of designing an artist world, because you do have the range and you have the work. Your legitimate work is already in the space. You've contributed to culture. And that's all a beautiful thing, man. It's so beautiful.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was a lovely interview. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Savannah, big up yourself. And I hope to work with you soon. I love what you're doing. It's right up my alley. I love creative stuff. I went down a whole wormhole discovering, seeing everything that you did. And then when I saw it, I called John. I was like, John, I didn't know you had such an extensive catalog, you know?
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. And honestly, that was like such an incredible interview. Like, you're super wicked, so good.
Thank you so much.
When I'm doing your personal stuff, I'll be in touch.
Yes, link me up, send me an email. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Savannah Baker. You're watching World Music Views with JR. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
If you want to hear the songs mentioned or heard on this episode, go to YouTube or on your favorite streaming platform and search World Music Views playlist to hear more.